Hi, and welcome to episode 5 of the Vita Player podcast. I'm Simon Plum.
And I'm Sven Harvey. And thank you for everybody for downloading and listening to the show so far and everything we've had feedback-wise for the last 4 episodes. We do hope you enjoy today's.
Yeah, and coming up in the show, we're going to be taking a look at the latest games up for grabs for PlayStation Plus. A little roundup of some of the games that we're playing at the moment and what we think of them. And do something a little bit different. We want to do something a little bit weird and have a look at our own personal sort of wish list for features that we'd like to see in the future for the PS Vita and PlayStation TV.
For now, though, if we're looking at PlayStation Plus for June 2015. We've been handed over Futuridium EP Deluxe, which is obviously the 3D update of Iridium from the Commodore 64 and Iridium 2, which is on the... Well, was it on the C64 as well? Certainly on the Amiga.
Yeah, it's just an Amiga on that one.
Yeah. And Super Exploding Zoo. Both of those are on cross-buy with the PlayStation 4.
Yeah. I wasn't too sure what to expect with Super Exploding Zoo at first.
Neither was I. What I got when I started playing it was like, what?
Well, my first thoughts with that one, as soon as I, obviously hearing about it, said, same developers as Hohokam, and I thought, yeah. Oh God, I'm not going to like this one bit. Mm. I absolutely loathed Hohokam.
Okay.
I loaded it up, played it for a bit, and it's never been loaded since. It was dreadful, mind-numbingly boring game. Super Exploding Zoo. It's quirky. It's a fun little puzzle game. My wife and daughter absolutely adore playing it as well. It's kind of one of those games that's obviously kind of got that really cutesy appeal.
Yeah.
But it's a fun puzzle game.
I'm slightly disturbed that these little animals are all suicide bombers, though.
Yeah, it's kind of... lemmings with sort of cartoon... Yeah, cell-style cartoon graphics. That's the best way to describe it, I think. The only thing that really bugs me about it so far is loading times, which are painfully slow. I know there's supposed to be a patch on the way to rectify that, but oh my God, it was mind-numbing sort of waiting for it to load. It brought back painful memories of the Commodore 64.
I've been a bad man because that annoyed me to the point where I've been playing it on the PS4
on
Vita, which makes me a bad person as far as this podcast is concerned, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, first time I loaded it up, I mean, I thought it actually crashed. Sitting there, it's like, come on, keep loading.
Yeah.
The problem is then, I have actually had it crash a few times. I know there's some stability issues with it as well.
And it certainly doesn't seem to like the PSTV, does it?
I've had it crash a couple of times on the PSTV as well. So there are known bugs with it. It's not the most stable of games.
I haven't actually had it run on my PlayStation TV yet.
I have managed to get it to work, but it hasn't been stable. I do think that it was probably rushed out to meet the PlayStation Plus deadline.
Yeah.
I would have hoped Sony would have thought, okay, let's hold it back, release it a few weeks later, release it a month later or whatever, and given us something else for PlayStation Plus, but hopefully we'll get the patches brought into play quite soon, but...
We'll soon see, won't we?
Yeah, but I think it's another case of developers trying to rush a game out to meet a deadline rather than finishing a game and releasing it when it's ready. Assassin's Creed.
It's a whole troop of these. I mean, let's be honest, across all formats, this is where patch culture's basically rescued everybody from development hell, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not quite ready. Put it out anyway. We can always patch it. No.
Yeah. Although it's... The problem is, it's not the right attitude to take.
No, even right.
I mean, as Marcus pointed out in his review on the site of Alien Shooter, the game's been released and it's not up to par. It runs, as it progressed through I know we're going off track now, but as you move through to the later levels of the game, the frame rate drops down to literally a few frames a second.
And ouch.
It's the publisher, I think it's 4Hit, I think, who,
yeah,
and they've released a lot of games on the Vita in the past. There's, and not one of them has ever been patched or updated with anything.
Right.
And the developers have no intention of releasing any patches or updates for this.
Great.
And it makes you wonder if there are known issues with the Vita version.
Yeah.
Sort it, get it fixed. People have paid money to play this game.
Yeah.
And the only response that they have given is, don't worry, the PS3 version will run faster.
That's not good enough.
And it's not a cross-buy title that I'm aware of. It's like it would be slightly better if it's cross-buy and a bit more acceptable, yeah, but no, it's not a cross-buy game. So people have paid money for the Vita version, and they're stuck with a game that's glitched.
Yeah, great.
You know, it's not on. It's not acceptable.
No, not remotely.
But okay, definitely going off track here. But,
yes.
Future Idiom.
Yeah.
3D update of the old C64 classic Iridium.
Yeah.
But adding a nice little twist to it. The core gameplay is the same, so if you love the original, you'll love this.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember what score I gave it originally when I reviewed it, but I think it did quite well. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are.
Oh, I think it's brilliant. I mean, it's not exactly an in-depth title, let's be honest. But, you know, considering my favourite games, generally speaking, tend to be things like, oh, let's see, Super Stardust, Rezogun. There's a theme here.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from the racing games, I mean, I love my racing games. I love Mortal Kombat, but...
Yeah.
You know, for games that I repeatedly play, it's always space shooters. So, okay, this'll do. So it's certainly. I think it's a fantastic game. I absolutely love it. Everybody's been slagging it off. Oh, it doesn't look very good. I don't care. The playability is there. It doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with it.
The thing is, I mean, it's intentionally. You know, the actual look of it is intentional to be a very sort of a stylized sort of solid 3D game.
It's nice and voxelated as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't... For something like that, if there's too much detail anyway...
Yeah.
It's going to confuse the hell out of you.
Yeah, right. It needs to be simple. It feels like a simulation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is probably the idea. So that seems, you know, perfectly fine to me.
Yeah, but with the game... The ship's flying past you so quickly. If there's too much detail going on screen, you're not going to see a thing or be able to make anything out clearly.
Yeah.
And I think people tend to forget that sometimes. You know, you've got to... You know, if you're playing an action simulation, going back years now to something like Wing Commander, the more realistic the visuals, the better, and it does work. But for a game like Future Idiom, you don't want too much detail because you won't be able to make out what's going on. You won't be able to see it clearly.
Yeah, quite.
But I think we've got a couple of good games this month.
Yes, completely.
The only thing that I think has been a little bit frustrating, I think, is looking at the PlayStation Plus as a whole this month. Mm. PS4... I mean, both of those two titles are cross-buy this month, and they're both available for the PS4 as well.
Yeah.
PS4 owners are also getting Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
Although some, obviously, it's a smaller sort of cut-down Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
But
it's a demo. Let's be brutally honest.
Some people have been classing it as a demo, but
it's like the prologue. Gran Turismo's rather.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
And they're also getting Scores of the Shogun, Bonafide Edition.
Yeah.
So four games for the PS4, one of which you could, at a stretch, class it as a AAA game.
Yeah.
PS3, Call of Juarez, Gunslinger, and Clayberry Kingdom. Again, Call of Juarez, potential sort of AAA classification there.
Yeah, I suppose.
But Vita-wise, two games, both indie. I know we've tried to avoid talking about the indie AAA issue in the past. Or we've over-talked about that.
Yeah.
But in this particular month, PS3 and PS4 have both had higher level games compared to previous months.
Oh, I'm going to challenge you on that, because Call of Juarez isn't the best of the Call of Juarez games. It didn't sell very well, and it's not up to the kind of states. To be honest, from a gameplay point of view, I don't think it's up to the standard of Futuridium.
Yeah.
But that's personal choice.
But on that perceived value.
Oh, the perceived value, yeah, certainly.
But from the Vita perspective, I mean the Vita owners this month, I mean, it's, you could argue it's only indie. PS4 and PS3 owners are getting a bigger title. Mm. Okay, granted, I mean, the PS3 owners are the same as the Vita in that they're only getting two games, as are we.
Yeah.
But Vita, we're only getting games by way of cross-buy.
Well, I mean, Super Exploding Zoo was always going to be a freebie anyway.
Yeah.
I think those two titles are possibly better as Vita titles than they are PS4.
Yeah.
Except for that loading issue. If it wasn't for that loading issue, then it certainly would be better, a better Vita game than it is for the PS4, because it's a bit silly as it sounds, it's a bit simple of a game to be using a DualShock 4 on.
Yeah.
And it suits the controls on the Vita a little more.
Unless you're playing on a PlayStation TV.
Well, yeah. Even then, it's perfectly playable with a DualShock 3.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of see it as those are two Vita games where the PS4 versions are the
bonus
cross buy, are the bonus. Yeah. It doesn't help that I already own Futuridium.
Well, same
here. I had it on the Vita first.
Yeah.
And then when I got my PS4, okay, it was one of the first games I downloaded. But to be honest, Futuridium on the big screen is a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah,
but you know, that's personal choice, personal perceptions. But yeah,
I mean, the only possible bonus game that we may end up getting as Vita owners is Cloudberry Kingdom, which is the second PS3 game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going back a little while now, but Cloudberry Kingdom was actually announced as a Vita title some time ago. The developers have actually been quiet on this now for about a year. I think the last announcement, I think it was February last year.
Yeah.
When developers did actually say it is still happening. So for anyone who's got a Vita but doesn't have a PS3, get onto the web version of the store.
Yeah.
And
claim it.
Basically claim the PS3 version of the game.
Frankly, bit of advice for anybody with a Vita and you've got PlayStation Plus, get onto that store and claim everything regardless.
Yeah, grab the whole lot anyway.
Grab everything, because you never know when, you know, one of them suddenly unlocks a Vita version that's just only been released.
Well, exactly. I mean,
Rezogun.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing that since day one anyway.
Yeah.
I grab every single game.
Exactly.
I've been doing that with the PS4 title since day one. I haven't got a PS4 yet, so when I do eventually get one,
you'll be buying the add-on for Rezogun for a start, I can tell you that now.
Well, I'm going to need a 1 terabyte hard drive for the PS4 because I've got enough games to fill one.
You'll be able to get one by the end of next week, don't tell anybody.
But just for the amount of games I got from PlayStation Plus, I'm going to need that. But because I nabbed Rezogun the day it hit PlayStation Plus, I got the Vita version and the PS3 version free straight away. Not that I was complaining about that at all, but but obviously with Cloudberry Kingdoms, for anyone who hasn't already got the PS3 version prior to PlayStation Plus or whatever, grab it now, and hopefully if it does get a Vita port, then there's a freebie on the way.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if one of our future games for the Vita will be Injustice. It's already been given away on the PS4.
Yes.
In fact, I was very surprised it wasn't one on the Vita when it was on the PS4. That was quite weird. Oh, there we go.
Well, didn't Mortal Kombat hit both, but at different times?
Yes, it was different times, actually, yeah. Which was weird. So, yeah. But then again, it was released separately on PS3 and on the Vita. Whereas with Injustice, it was released on the PS3, and then it's the complete edition that came out on and on PS4 about the same time. So, yeah, be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, so I think if they're both obviously... Yes, so it's not, wouldn't be the first time they've released one.
No,
released them both at separate times on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. I was just wondering whether we'll... Because Injustice hasn't been given away to PS3 owners yet. Yeah. So, just wondering whether they're just dragging the heels a little bit on that. Mm. And I'm also half expecting more Lego to turn up. So...
Well, with the release of Jurassic Park World a couple of days ago at retail...
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see more. Although from the Vita side of things, they're running out of Lego games to give away free.
Well, I could have is it Lego Chima?
That's actually not a bad game. I mean, yeah. Prior to buying that, I had no experience whatsoever of the Chima side of the Lego franchise.
Lego Thundercats.
Pretty much. I mean, seeing the sort of Chima toys in stores, it's like, yeah, this is Thundercats. Bought it, and it's not actually a bad game, and it's actually although the Chima games and the Ninjago for that matter, they're both Vita and 3DS exclusives.
Yeah,
it wasn't an isometric game, it was a proper 3D Lego game. So
what the hell were they playing at with Marvel Superheroes? Somebody please explain this to me.
I wish I knew. But it's actually, Chima was actually quite a fun game. I mean, it was difficult at first to get used to the characters being totally new characters.
Yeah.
But as a game, it was quite a fun game to play.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, yeah, there you go. Try figuring that one out.
Yeah. I'm never quite sure what's going on. I mean, this is the thing, is when you've got at least two or three development teams separately working on Lego product, because there's so much Lego product coming out. Where's Lego Dimensions for the Vita, people?
Oh.
Come on. That's just annoying me.
Don't get me started on that.
Don't tell me you can't do that type of game, because Disney are doing it. Come on.
Yeah. Talk and leading on from that.
There we go.
Yeah. What are you playing at the moment?
I'm currently playing Lemmings, and a side order of Lemmings. Yes, I'm currently having a look at the Lemmings games that you can play on the Vita. I've actually got... I actually thought I had Lemmings on the PSP, kicking around, couldn't find it, suddenly realised it disappeared a long time ago, so I managed to get another copy of that on playing it on the PSP.
It didn't jump off a cliff somewhere, did it?
Yeah, probably. It fell down somewhere. But I'm checking out and comparing the PSP version of Lemmings,
yeah,
the PlayStation Mobile version of Lemmings, which is looking like the same game, just with bits taken out and only available when you buy a add-on.
Well, the thing is, the core game for the mobile one was free, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With the first 20 levels, so...
Yeah. So, yeah, you have to buy the add-on, but be quick if you're going to do that.
I can't remember if I actually did or not, if I only got the core game for that.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, this is the thing, is there's one thing with that, is once the PS mobile version of that has disappeared, it's not as big a gutting thing as it would have been, because at least you can still get the PSP version. And then Lemmings Touch, which is weird. I'm having problems with just getting used to it.
Yeah,
it's quite a strange thing. I don't know whether
you two can touch a lemming.
Yeah,
the name of it is just wrong. I'm sorry, but
Lemmings Touch.
That alone is putting me off.
Touch. I think the biggest problem I've got with it is the fact that I've had to already go from using a mouse and a keyboard to using a joypad to get this damn thing to work. And now you're telling me to use a touchscreen. And the way the control works on it is quite significantly different. and the reticule that comes up that gives you all the control takes up half the screen. You're just like, that really doesn't help.
Well, it was kind of the same with Worms, though, wasn't it, really? You know, taking the whole control, going from mouse to anything else from Worms just didn't feel right.
Oh, talking about Worms, PSP version of Lemmings, you know who converted it, don't you?
Yeah, Team 17, wasn't it?
Team 17. So, you're like, the Lemmings all sound like the Worms.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? This isn't right. I'm still waiting to see if we can... Come on. I want to see Lemmings versus Worms.
I dread to think how complicated the licensing would be on that and the rights.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this is the thing. If Team 17 have already been subcontracted by Sony to do Lemmings, how hard can it be?
Oh.
Because Lemmings is completely owned by Sony. There's no question over that. DMA have got no claim on it whatsoever.
But so, I know Team 17 tend to be... Oh, they're a little bit more protective over the Worms brand at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. That's understandable. But, hey, if Sony turned around and said, do you want to develop it? I'm sure they'll say yes.
But who would publish it?
Team 17. To be a Team 17 ex-dev thing, wouldn't it?
But would it be released through teams, released as a Team 17 product, or would
okay.
it be released as a Sony
Do
product?
Two games. You can have Lemmings versus Worms and Worms versus Lemmings. Lemmings, you playing with Lemmings in the Worms universe, or playing with the Worms in the Lemmings universe? It would be hilarious.
You have too much time on your hands, you know that, don't you?
Shut up. No, I really don't. really don't. But I've now got images in my head of going, I get you. Let's go. No.
A lemming on a bungee rope.
Yeah. And then the flockers turn up. Anyway, I wonder how much like Super Frog a Super Lemming would look like.
I've just
seen in my head an Amiga version of Super Smash Bros. on the PlayStation, just to be really annoying.
Sometimes you scare me.
Excellent. I've also just seen a load of lemmings crawling all over the beast from Shadow of the Beast. Let's go on.
Yeah, I think it's probably...
I have a diseased mind. So what have you been playing?
Well, still carry on with Lunar Silver Star Harmony on the PSP. Okay. I think I'm up to about 40 odd hours in that now.
Cool.
Getting quite a way into that.
Yeah.
Combination of actually playing the game properly and a fair bit of grinding to level the characters up. But it's got quite a good turn-based combat system, so it's one I'm actually enjoying playing, and that's a PSP one. Mm-hmm. Took the plunge and bought Steins Gate. Got that on day one. Got the collector's edition. Picked it up from a branch of Game.
Okay.
I think it was £35, and that came with the collector's art book.
Okay.
Quite a hefty sort of 100 plus page glossy book in a PS3 size box.
Okay.
Only problem is it's the game itself. It's a visual novel, Japanese game, English text, Japanese dialogue, and I've been playing it for a few hours and nothing's really happened. The bulk of the game, it's basically a central character is thinks he's working against some sort of hidden organisation that's trying to control the world. Something happens and he finds himself transported sort of back in time, and the world around him has changed. Things are different to how he remembers things happening. He goes along to this lecture that this scientist was going to be giving about time travel. Someone who's attending this lecture, he finds them murdered. He goes outside this building to try and after he's found this sort of student dead. Then suddenly there's this sort of flash. He finds himself in an empty street. Then nobody talks to has any recollection of anything going on. No sign the police that were called to this to investigate this murder. Then he finds this woman alive.
Okay.
So kind of history's kind of rewritten itself. But so far, after playing for a few hours, the only interaction I've had with the game is basically pressing X to advance the story. And maybe one or two other little buttons to access the character's sort of telephone that he's got to sort of read messages from other characters. And so far, after a few hours, I've had literally no interaction with the game at all.
Eek.
Don't get me wrong, I mean, the story itself is quite enjoyable, but so far I've had nothing to actually do in it. It's had some rave reviews in places, but I'm really desperately hoping it picks up and there is something to do in it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm just literally sitting here reading and looking at the pictures.
Right. Doesn't sound like much of a game.
So far it isn't. It's literally... I think for the first hour and a half, all I did was press X to sort of keep the story moving. I didn't even do anything else beyond that.
Right.
And I think it was probably the best part of 90 minutes before I actually did anything else or pressed any other buttons.
Right. Not impressive.
It's been really hard to stay focused with it. Obviously, if you're just looking at a screen, reading text, looking at pictures, it becomes a struggle to progress through it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been playing and spending a little bit too much money on Disney Infinity. It's the first time I've played any games like this that use the figures and everything else. Took the plunge and got this on the day it came out.
Yeah.
And it's got me hooked.
Oh dear.
I got the starter pack, which has basically got the Infinity base, the black suited Spider-Man figure, and since then I've now got almost 20 figures.
It's going. Your room's going to look like my kid's room, where it's full of Skylanders.
I think I've kind of got two shelves full of figures now. Lots of the add-on discs and. It's hard to describe why it's kind of grabbed me like this. I mean, the figures themselves are pretty good.
Yeah.
Technically, the game is not stunning. I mean, it doesn't run in the Vita's native resolution.
Yeah.
It's not running at incredibly fast frame rates, and it does slow down at times if there's too much going on screen.
Do I spell a lazy port?
Because it's kind of a big open world approach to the game, there are times when there's a lot going on. Plus, it's constantly using Bluetooth.
Right, yeah.
To communicate with the base.
Yeah.
So that's obviously putting a bit of a drain on the system as well.
Fair enough.
So I'd presume that has some impact on it. But I think it's just... It's weird. I mean, you've got the main game itself. You've got out of the box. You've got the figure, and you've got this playset piece, which activates the Spider-Man storyline.
Right.
So you can play through that. You've got this sort of toy box world, which has got mini tutorials and mini games that you can play as well. Right. You've got this house that kind of. You can got little mini missions and everything to complete, and then you can kind of completely redecorate and redesign this house, so you can just do whatever you want in there. Which I've kind of taken from a single room to about a 40 or 50 sort of room building on four floors, which has got its own mini SHIELD headquarters in there.
So
I kind of customised that a little bit. I spent hours just playing around messing with that. And then you've got the game creation side of things, so you can either just build your own worlds, create games, whether it's a racing game, platform games, all that lot, you've got that side of things to it. Mm. And that's not counting the online stuff, where you can just download other games and things that other people have built.
Oh, okay.
So basically imagine sort of Little Big Planet in 3D.
Yeah.
But with other games added to it.
Okay.
So that's where it's kind of, it doesn't have quite the definition for graphics as Little Big Planet does.
Yeah.
But obviously being in full 3D rather than 2.5D,
yeah,
you can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
There's one group of fans that have created Disneyland.
Okay.
They created the park, but all of the rides are there, and you can actually go into the rides and ride on them as well.
Okay.
There's so much stuff you can actually do with it. But I'm alternating my time in there at the moment between just wandering around, getting into random sort of battles with different characters, seeing what, buying different packs of discs and seeing some of the weird stuff I keep picking up. Yeah. Going into this sort of house sort of interior place that they've given to you and completely customising and rebuilding that. This one area I've built and hidden away is basically a 30 odd room SHIELD headquarters complete with a training arena. But little things like that, and then occasionally I'll go off onto the actual story part of it. So I've got the Guardians of the Galaxy set, the Avengers set, the Spider-Man set. So I've got three complete story games to play off, to go off and play as well. But there's just so much there.
Yeah.
And if I do complete all those stories, I can either go play back there again then with different characters.
Yeah.
So there's just absolutely tons to keep me going with it.
Cool.
Quite sadly, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you kind of hoping that the Lego game doesn't come to the Vita at this point to save you money?
I think it'd be a combination of the money and not having the time. Cause, I mean, I'm still getting more Disney figures at the moment.
Yeah.
I know I've got a few more figures on the way. I mean, I bought some more a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I managed to pick some up, you know, on offer. I keep looking around to see if I find any more cheap. And I haven't even scratched the surface with this at the moment. I haven't really built any games.
That's the worst part, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, Little Big Planet. With Little Big Planet, I only ever treated that as a platform game.
Yeah.
I never did anything creative with it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this has actually got me wanting to do other stuff.
Okay, that's cool.
Whether it's the Marvel element or not, because being a massive sort of comic fan anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it's that that's kind of got me into doing that side of things.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which is a... It's turning out to be quite an expensive sort of game, really, but
yeah.
Not that I'm complaining.
No, absolutely not. But this is the one thing about, I mean, the Lego one. If that does get ported to the Vita, which I do hope it does, because it would suit it down to the ground, it's the fact that the extra figures aren't just figures, they're actual Lego.
Yeah.
The add-ons are Lego, we just happen to have chips in the bases, so yeah. It's just like that. That just adds a whole extra layer of playability, because...
You almost said it adds a whole dimension, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid that. Have you seen some of the trailers for this thing?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they managed to get Christopher Lloyd to do one? Because one of the add-on kits is Back to the Future?
Yeah.
And you're just like, really? Really?
I'm surprised I managed to get Doctor Who license.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But yeah, at least it won't be. Well, the one thing that won't be happening is the Star Trek Star Wars. I don't know if you're aware, but Paramount and CBS have basically told Hasbro where to stick it.
Yeah.
After how badly they handled the whole Creo thing.
Hmm.
And there was a whole thing going on about whether Lego would pick it up or not, but it's actually gone to Mega Bloks.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, but there we go. Moot point. We'll move on. There we go.
No, I think the problem with games like this, though, I mean, it's... Even if you don't end up playing it, I mean, just having the figures like this on display, it's... They can be a bit...
addictive, isn't it?
Yeah, very easily. I mean, I was quite the reason I got it in the first place was it's another Vita game, it's another box Vita game to add to the collection, which is now coming up to about 103, I think.
Well, it could have been worse. There were very early plans for Activision to use the Skylanders type technology with Robot Masters type kind of Robot Heroes type figures, Transformers wise.
Well, PS3 wise or anything like that, I can live without it. Vita, yeah. At the moment, yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And the thing is, right. They've made it PlayStation TV compatible as well.
Yes.
And it even, perfect. And it uses both shoulder buttons.
Oh.
Even better.
Yeah.
But,
oh my.
But no, it's proving to be an expensive game.
Yes. Absolutely.
But, no. Okay.
Right, shall we go on?
Yes, let's.
So, you've already got some ideas for this, so I'll think we'll get you to kick off. What features would you like to see introduced to the PlayStation Vita and or the PlayStation Vita TV?
Oh, the one thing... Well, one thing that would immediately spring to mind for me... we've got three Vitas in the house now.
Yep.
Four if we get the PlayStation TV, but... obviously, I've got the one, the wife has, and so has my daughter.
Yep. But would that really have been necessary? If you could have more than one account on a machine?
Yes, but... Because obviously, if we want to play any multiplayer games,
yeah.
Then obviously our own systems anyway, but...
Yeah.
Plus, any time I go out on a bus or anything, the Vita never leaves my side.
True.
But having... access to multiple accounts, I think, is something that's, I think, quite an important feature to be added in a future software update.
Possibly, arguably, more for the TV than the handheld.
Definitely for the PlayStation TV. But also, I think, for probably not so much for myself, but I know there's people that have got multiple accounts anyway.
Yeah.
For US accounts, Japanese accounts.
Yeah.
Whether that would help encourage Sony to actually release more games in different territories or not, so we don't have to worry about importing games or buying games from from the US store or from the Japanese store. Mm. But hopefully, you know, we can get the multiple user accounts set up.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's games my wife would love to play on the TV that she's got for the Vita. But at the moment, the only way she could do that is basically wiping all the settings on the PlayStation TV, setting it up for her,
yeah.
And then resetting it back for me afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, a bit of a nightmare.
Yep, quite.
Definitely need more media player support.
Yeah.
We've lost YouTube, although, yeah, we can still access that through the web browser anyway.
Yeah, but that's a perceived issue because at the end of the day, there's no icon on those on the screen, so people are going to assume that means it can't be used.
Yeah,
I mean, there are already retailers telling people you can no longer play YouTube videos through the Vita. So
yeah, which is
wrong.
But I think we need to get Netflix over in the EU.
Yeah,
kind of majorly. Amazon, iPlayer, yeah. Twitch. I mean, those are the immediate ones. I mean, there's a lot of other video services out there.
Yeah.
Those are probably the ones I'd say are the most important.
There needs to be an ultraviolet client of some description. There's so many people with ultraviolet copies of things that they can't access on this handheld device, but they can on all the others.
Yeah.
Which is just stupid.
Yeah. I mean, really, as many sort of media players as possible. But not just on the Vita, but obviously PlayStation TV as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a device that's got the word TV in its name.
Yeah, and I can't watch TV on it.
Yeah. I mean, you look on the TV adverts and it's, you know, the Amazon Fire TV stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the name immediately says you plug it into the TV and you watch TV.
Yeah.
You know, you see PlayStation TV and... you can't watch TV on the bloody thing.
Yeah, it is a bit silly.
You know, I know we joke about this a lot, but it shouldn't be something to laugh at and make fun of.
The number of people who open the box, plug it into their telly, and they're like, well, why can't I do what it says on the tin?
Yeah. You know, all you can do, all it is really, it is a games console. It's not...
Yeah.
You know, it's not a TV device.
It's a games console that's sold as an add-on for another games console.
Yeah.
To be honest,
but so that's something that it needs to have. You know, it's got to have some sort of media playback.
Yeah.
Next one for me is, it's a silly one.
Yes, because your games collection is ridiculous.
Well, this one stems from something I was campaigning for a lot on the Vita Player website.
I know.
And people thought, when I campaigned for this originally, people thought I was insane and thought it didn't need to be done back then. Because originally the Vita had a 100 icon limit.
Yeah.
And I kept campaigning for this for months and saying, look, get rid of this limit. We need a bigger limit. Yeah. Some people saying, no, you don't need more than 100 icons. You're not going to fill that many up on a memory card. It's like, yeah, you will. You know, we had 20 system icons. Every time you bought a physical game, it put an icon on you.
On your system.
So it took that one up. If you've got too many games, you would have problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking at my games collection personally, counting PlayStation Mobile, Vita, PSP and everything, it's about 900 games now.
Yeah.
If we had a two-way system now, so we could actually look at our listeners, half of them probably fell to the floor and collapsed. But if I just look at my PlayStation Mobile collection for a minute, I've got one 16 gig card that's probably got the better part of 300 PlayStation Mobile games on it.
Yep.
Add to that my box game collection of over 100 games.
Yep.
There's over 400 icons gone.
Yep.
20 system icons.
Yep.
And that's, you're talking 430 icons gone on a memory card.
Yep.
And that's just with a 16 gig card.
Yep, quite. And we've got 64 gig cards running around. Well, not in this country, but you can't get them.
And this is the thing. If you're using a 64 gig card, if you've got a large retail game collection, if you're the sort of person that likes buying minis, or you've got a PlayStation Mobile collection, or whatever, potentially you're going to get screwed. This current icon limit now, which Sony eventually did change.
Yeah.
People might think we can chuck plenty of icons onto the Vita, we've got no problem. There is still a limit. The current restriction is a maximum of 500 icons.
Yeah.
But there's a secondary limit within that.
Yeah.
Because on the actual Vita's sort of home screen, you can still stick in icons into folders.
Yeah.
But you can only have 10 screens worth of folders.
Yeah.
So you can have 10 screens in total. But if you don't want to have all of your games into folders, then you can only have a maximum of 100.
Yeah.
It's a bloody nightmare. 500 is not going to last for someone who's either as insane as I am for collecting all these box games. But I mean, all my memory cards now, I'm losing 130 icons on every card.
Yeah.
So I'm having to do memory card juggling all the time now just to try and balance out my games again. So I think we either need to be looking at 1,000 or a rejigging yet again, I think.
Yeah, quite.
But,
crazy.
PlayStation TV, this whitelist for compatibility needs to be sorted.
say the least.
I mean, it seems to be hit and miss over what does and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
There are games that used to work that don't, and just suddenly stop working overnight. Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, probably the most notable of those.
I mean,
I've posted screenshots online of that working. I know a lot of people that got it to work, a lot of people that haven't. Jet Set Radio, according to the PlayStation Store, works. I've actually managed to get it to work, and now it doesn't.
Great.
But there's other games that there's no reason why they shouldn't work.
And that have been blacklisted,
But they don't.
Yeah.
But there's other. Then you've got other games in contrast that don't work, but that do work, but because of the nature of the controls in them, there's no reason why they should.
Yeah. Still annoyed with Wipeout.
Yeah, I mean, Wipeout, it's only the menus, isn't it, that limits it.
Yeah.
And that could just be handled by the pointer emulation.
Exactly. Because once you pass the menus, it's you can choose your controls. So
yeah,
that's just ridiculous. So, I mean, the only games really that should be blacklisted are ones that are using the camera.
Yeah.
Or that are really, really, really dependent on touch, where the pointer emulation wouldn't work, like Tearaway.
Or the motion control.
Yeah. Well, even with the motion control, it's like, six axes is in the control in the current controller. So,
but it's whether it's been matched up to actually use it in that way.
Yeah,
because that would probably need a software update with the PlayStation TV just to recognise the DualShock's six axis to function. It's doable, I think.
Oh yeah, certainly.
I mean, the one that I found quite ludicrous was FIFA 15. Because all of the other FIFA games work.
And it's just a reskin?
It's just a reskin, but FIFA 15 doesn't work.
That's ridiculous. It's actually because someone hasn't ticked a box somewhere.
Yeah. But FIFA 15 is the one that doesn't work.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, well, we've changed the name and changed some names in it and altered the database slightly, therefore it doesn't work. No, rubbish. Yeah.
Ridge Racer doesn't, and the only reason for that, I think, is the menus.
Right. Stupid.
It's astonishing. I mean, the stuff that does work and doesn't, it's... Looney Tunes Galactic Sports, I knew that wouldn't work because... The entire game, I think, it just uses every single function of the Vita.
Right.
But for a game that's released nowadays, they shouldn't be written to be dependent on the Vita's hardware. I think they shouldn't do.
Yeah, they shouldn't. I don't think there's anything wrong with using it, but it should be optional.
Yeah, but it's so dependent on the Vita's functions.
It's very much a handheld game.
I mean, Ratchet and Clank Trilogy, Sly Trilogy, Jack and Daxter Trilogy, none of those are compatible.
That's ridiculous.
And these are Sony release games.
Right, Sony not paying any attention to what they're doing.
But there's no reason none of those should work.
Yeah, quite. We've had some problems with Lego games as well, which doesn't make any sense.
Most of the Lego games do work.
The fact that there's any of them that doesn't, it makes no sense.
I think there's one that actually does use touch controls.
But even then, you can emulate that.
I'm just trying to think which one it is, but I think there's only one, possibly two, that doesn't work out the whole lot.
One of them's the Batman one, isn't it? One of the Batman ones. Which is just like, why?
No, I think all the Batman ones are fine.
Sure?
Yep. If I remember correctly. So you're going to have me going and checking now, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm sure there's one that's on the official list, which is probably wrong, because we know the official list is very, very wrong.
No, the official list has to be accurate.
Not completely, yeah. It's not at all completely relevant compared with our one. Honest.
I don't know, our list is getting a bit frightening now.
Yeah, I know.
Batman 2 and Batman 3 both work.
Oh, do they? Okay.
And I think the original Lego Batman does as well. Yep.
Yeah,
Lego
it should Batman do, because it's a PSP game.
Yeah.
It should be fine.
So, all three Lego Batman games work.
Cool, that's right then.
Yeah, I thought they did, so I'd checked all those out.
Cool.
But had a feeling they did. I thought, hold on, what's going on?
It's the port from the bleeding 3DS, isn't it, that doesn't work? Marvel Superheroes.
Yeah,
Lego Chima.
Marvel doesn't, because it needs, I think, to activate the tag mode, it needs the touchscreen.
Right, okay.
That's the only reason I think Marvel doesn't work, because you've got to use a touchscreen.
Okay, what about Chima? Is that the same?
I'm trying to remember. Let's have a look. Chima doesn't. Marvel doesn't. Yeah, they're the only two. I can't remember about Chima. Haven't checked what's it yet? Jurassic World.
Right.
But if I tried to test it, my wife would kill me because she's got it and I haven't yet.
Fair enough.
So I don't think she'd be happy with me opening her copy and sort of playing it on the PlayStation TV before she does.
Don't do that. You'd be shot.
So probably won't be able to check that for a while. The only other thing I could think of, probably sort of in terms of adding to the Vita or PlayStation TV, obviously just for me, I don't know about you, but an improved store.
Yeah, because it's a bit clunky, isn't it? To say the least.
Definitely clunky. It definitely needs a shopping cart.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst of that was when they did the 10% offer a few months ago. Obviously, with the Vita, you can only buy one item at a time. The PS3 and everything else, you could add up to 10 and apply the discount in bulk. And obviously, the Vita, we couldn't take advantage of that.
Yeah.
The search function's pretty awful.
Yeah.
And there's a load of games that are missing from the store.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous.
Okay, I mean, the web store is just as bad because you can't find PS1 and PS1 games easily anymore.
No.
But the store definitely needs tweaking and improving.
Yeah, yeah.
And the PSTV store's even worse.
I know.
I mean, there's games on there that are either just missing or...
the ones that are... I mean, this is the thing. Is if it doesn't work with the PlayStation TV, why is it on the PlayStation TV store as well?
But there's games that do work that aren't there either.
I know, it's just nuts.
The whole store side of things is just a mess.
Yeah.
But sort it out. Yeah, but yeah, anything that you can think of, or
I've got a few. I mean, my main one is still the playlist issue.
Yeah.
So why can't we make video and music playlists on the machine? Can't be because it's not capable of doing it. An iPod can do it.
Well, you used to use your PSP as a music player a lot, didn't you?
Yeah. So, you know, the fact that the Vita's a step backwards from what the PSP could do is not good. It's not good. But, you know, what can one do? I mean, this is the thing. Is on the PSP, you could create a playlist on the PS3 and port it over. You can't do that on the PS4.
Yeah.
The PS4 is missing half the features from the PS3. Let alone the Vita being missing half the features in the PSP. It's almost as if things are starting to... Sony is taking a step backwards in some ways, which is just weird. But other than that, I don't see why the PlayStation TV shouldn't support the PS3i.
Yeah.
That just seems like a no-brainer to me, or indeed the PlayStation 4's PlayStation camera.
I haven't been honest. I haven't actually tried connecting the camera up to it yet.
Because at the end of the day, there's nothing stopping you from plugging in a USB hub.
Yeah.
So you know, and then be able to plug in a keyboard and mouse and whatever you like that.
Yeah.
That'd all be cool, and you know, would be excellent for maybe doing development on it or doing you know, things like Command and Conquer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got the USB port on it.
Yeah.
Use it.
I mean, the only thing I've used the USB port for so far has been charging stuff up.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't actually experimented with it yet to see what I can actually get away with plugging into it.
So I'm just thinking to myself, if you could do messaging using the camera.
Yeah. I mean, it would. I mean, the Vita can do it, obviously. So
yeah.
Whether it's worth trying it just out of curiosity as an experiment to see if it does work.
I do have a spare PS3 camera. I may have to do that at some point.
As we suddenly find out, everyone rushes off to stick on their PSTVs after listening to this. And
for some reason, I have 4 PlayStation 3Is in the house.
I wonder about what you've actually got stashed away in that place.
Why?
I just do.
Oh, okay. Because I've got a PlayStation 3i next to the PlayStation camera that came with my PS4.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? I mean, I've got one plugged into my PC because I've got the software to use it as a webcam.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to people. So I was just like, and the quality is really quite nice.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly was when it first came out. And the fact that at one point you could pick up a second hand one for £3. And then suddenly another one came with this, and another one came with that, and oh, I've got PlayStation Move with another one. Woo! There you go. Oh dear, yes. Okay, let's move on.
No other things that you could think of?
Not off the hand that you haven't already mentioned.
Yeah.
Because this is the problem. It's more the media functions than anything that he's looking at, I feel.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to be getting, there's more gaming function coming in a way, because you've got, you know, PlayStation Now coming, and you've got Remote Play and things like that, which are already completely setting it aside from what the competition are doing.
Moving on a bit, got no competitions this time, because obviously we've run out of things to give away.
Yes.
But we had been running a competition through the website for a little while to give away a PlayStation TV, and we have actually managed to find the winner, which was Chris Boers, who lives in the Netherlands, who wrote the review for Dead or Alive 5 Plus for us, which you will have seen on the website. And he's actually now joining the team as one of our writers.
Yeah.
So congratulations to you, Chris, and the PSTV will be winging its way over to you quite soon.
Yep, absolutely. Congratulations.
And welcome to the team.
Yes, indeed. You can't escape.
You'll all be seeing a lot of Chris's work on the site sort of in the coming weeks and months.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Anyway, that's it for this sort of episode of the show. If you've got any comments or questions about what you've listened to or anything you'd like to tell us about the Vita and the website, you can email us at contact@vitaplayer.co.uk, and as Sven would like to keep reminding everyone, that's all one word, contact@vitaplayer.co.uk.
Absolutely. And the music that we used on the episodes up to this point is 8-Bit Rocktronic by Edward Blakely, which was supplied by shockwavesound.com. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening, and I'm sure you'll have to put up with us again soon.